Morning, church. I've got good news. I'm not going to be so serious today. You know, one of the wonderful things about life is those few rare times in life when you get a win-win. You know what I'm talking about? With no matter what happens, left or right, whichever way I go, I win. Something wonderful or great is going to happen to me. It's like getting in touch with a headhunter who says to you, I've got you these two job offers. This one is going to make you ridiculous amounts of money and give you great benefits, and this one is going to make you ridiculous amounts of money and give you great benefits. And you go, great! Either way, I win. I can take whichever job I want, and I'm going to be happy. Or it's like placing your name in that raffle. You place your name in, and you get a phone call, and they say, hey, great news. You won. You won the raffle, and you get a trip to either the beautiful Bermuda, or Barbados, I mean, or Puerto Vallarta. Tough choice, right? Sandy beaches, beautiful palm trees. Either way I look at it, I win. I get to go sit on the beach. I get to go swim with the dolphins or scuba diving or whatever makes me happy in a tropical area. No matter what happens, I win. And you see, as believers in Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul makes the point that no matter what happens to us in our lives, no matter what circumstances, we win. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26, it says this, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is much better by far, but it is more necessary that I remain in body with you. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my blessing with you again, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. You see, when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we have instantly entered a win-win situation. No matter what happens, we are fortunate enough to be blessed. And Paul tells us that there are two very distinct circumstances in which we're blessed. We are blessed when we are living. Do you ever just feel blessed to be alive in and of itself? Like life is a blessing? I feel that way when fall rolls around. I love that crisp morning. I love the color of the leaves changing. I love to be able to breathe in that air, and everything just seems fresh. And so there's times I feel a genuine blessing that God has allowed me to be alive today, that I have the energy to get up, that I can get out the door, that I can go for a walk or a run, that I can be alive. But you see, the real blessing that Paul points out here of living on earth is our fruitful labor. Now, we sometimes think about that and we think, nah, I'd rather just be on vacation in Barbados or Puerto Vallarta. I don't want to go to that job. I don't feel excited about it. Hey, you're looking at somebody. I have those days where I go to work and I think to myself, when is that clock going to strike so I can get out of here, I can go home, and I can be with my wife and not here? So it happens. But you see, the thing that we have to recognize about living our lives and our jobs is that God considers our jobs an opportunity. An opportunity for blessing. You know, in our culture, we have a way of separating things, don't we? We have church, which we go to on Sunday. And then we have work, which is separate from that. And then we have family, which is separate from that. And so we all just kind of, like, we have these each individual segments of our lives that we live out. And I think most of us know that's not natural or right. But when we look at our heritage, recognizing that we come from the heritage of God's people, that when we look at their culture, they did not see any aspect of life separated from any other aspect of life. One of the things that used to happen when young men would go and try to become a disciple of a rabbi is they would go to the rabbi and they'd present themselves and they'd say, you know, I finished my time in synagogue and I want to be your disciple. And so they'd walk along with the rabbi, and the rabbi would study them. He'd ask them questions. He'd kind of feel them out, figure out whether this was the type of person that he felt had what it would take to be a good disciple, that they would one day become a rabbi themselves. And if he looked at that young man and didn't see quite what he was looking for, not that he's a bad kid, just didn't have what he was looking for, what he would say is, young man, what does your father do? And the young man would look at him and say, Rabbi, my father is a carpenter. And so the rabbi would look at him and say, young man, go and be the very best carpenter you can be for the Lord. You see, the rabbi wasn't telling him that you're getting stuck in this lesser role. He said, God has prepared you to be a carpenter. He's prepared you to work with your hands. He's prepared you to be effective. And the fact of the matter is that God has given us each skills, hasn't he? He's given us minds and abilities to do things differently. I am so thankful that there are people who know how to use computers. I am so thankful that there are people that know how to program them, that know how to, that can come knock on their door and go, hey, Chad, my computer's busted. What do I do? You know, that there are people that understand how computers work because my mind's not wired that way. I don't get it. I don't. I mean, I can click the browser. You know, I can look at the internet. You know, I do most of my sermon work off the internet, so I'm not completely lost. But if it goes wrong, I don't know where to turn. If these TVs cut out, you have me to fix it, you're out of luck. Sorry. Not going to happen. And we each have these different gifts and skill sets. And even with that being true, sometimes we do get bored, don't we? Sometimes we do get to the point where we think to ourselves, like, man, I just am really not excited about what I do. But when you look at it in the big scheme of things, when you look at it in the picture of who we actually work for, it makes our job different. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. See, when I can get my mind wrapped around that, when I can truly understand that when my boss is being a jerk, that I'm not working for my boss, beautiful things start to happen because I realize Jesus Christ doesn't want me to slack off. Jesus Christ doesn't want me to do my job halfway. He wants me to do it with all my heart and all my might. He wants me to be out there and be the person that when my boss comes up to, even if he mistreats me every day, that my boss knows if he tells me jump, that I'm jumping as soon as it says. God is calling us to be workers. Why? Because when we work as though unto the Lord, people can't help but notice it. There's a difference. You ever been in a workplace with that guy who sits around and does nothing, the bare minimum? He's just waiting for somebody to tell him something to do. He knows what his job is, but until you tell him to do that, it's not going to happen, is it? He's just going to sit there. Yep. Okay. How about now? Oh, okay. All right. I guess we can do that. You stand out when you're a worker, when your life, when your work means something, it causes other people to look and recognize this guy finds purpose in something. And so with our hard work, we show other people the kind of nature of our God, that even in bad circumstances, even in a place where we wake up in the morning and think to ourselves, I'd rather just go back to bed than get up and go there. That if we go there with the mindset, or like Bob always says, I quit my job years ago, even before he retired. I quit my job years ago. I work for me. I work for the Lord. And if we can get that mindset, we have the blessed opportunity of furthering the kingdom in the place that we work, because people look and say, that's a person of integrity. That's a person who lives their life in a way that they want to do the very best work that they can for the Lord. And so we further the kingdom and have the opportunity to further the kingdom by the work of our hands. And then we have what is just naturally what we would think of as the work of the kingdom, doing good for other people. Now, unfortunately, when it comes to the idea of doing good, reaching out to the community, sharing with your friends the gospel, doing these things, in Christendom as a whole, people have got this mindset that if I tithe, if I put my money in the box or the collection plate or however a church does it, that if I put my money in that box, I have absolved myself of the work of the kingdom. That all I have to do is pay, and good news, the minister, who's one man, is going to take on the whole city. He's going to conquer it all through the working power of the Holy Spirit. Our minister is going to completely revamp the entire city, and I get to sit here and watch while it happens. Amen. People get a mindset that the only ones that have responsibility for teaching others, for helping others to grow, are those who God called specifically to be an overarching responsibility, our elders, our ministers. But that's not the case. We each, as members of the kingdom, get the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody. Now, have you ever had that one product that you're really, really proud of? I'll give you an example. One of my coworkers asked me, John, who do you have your insurance with? Oh, USAA, by far. I've had USAA for 13 years. Every time anybody's tried to compete with them as far as price, they can't beat it. And I sell it. I sell that product. Why? Because they've taken care of me. And yet here we are with the greatest news and opportunity that the world has ever known, that your sins can be forgiven, that they can be washed away, that you can walk with God and have eternity. You don't think that's a blessing here on earth, that you get the opportunity to share that, to be a part of that, to help people to grow in that? And that's what we've been called to. This isn't just a task for ministers. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, this is what he said: for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to the glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom that his son, of the son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. You see, we get to be a part of something bigger. We get to be a part of something great. We get to seek the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And as we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, the sword, the Word of God. We get the opportunity to study, to read, and to know the Word of God. Do you ever sit with your Bible in hand and think to yourself, this is God speaking to me. God is telling me in this book what he wants me to know about life, what he wants me to know about where I came from, what he wants me to know about my sinful nature, what he wants me to know about the sacrifices that have been made for me. Our God gave us his word and knowledge to perceive it. He called us to live a life that is pleasing to him. We talked about righteousness, doing the right thing, being truthful and honest, having integrity. God has called each of us to that, to live our lives in a way that we reflect him. Bearing fruit in good works, making a difference in our community, making a difference in the lives of the people that are around us. These things are not labors of pain. These are labors of joy because we are furthering the kingdom of God. We talked about needing that armor, didn't we? And this is why, because when you go to fight the battles for the Lord, you've got to be ready to live your life in this way, and you're blessed because you know that the man who made the equipment, the Father of all who equipped you, has equipped you for this good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. See, reading the word is one thing, growing in the knowledge of it is another. There are people all the time that will spout scripture at you that has absolutely no meaning. Is that right? They'll say things to you, they'll throw one little scripture out at you, and they base a whole belief on something that if you read the whole word of God, completely contradicts it, right? All you have to do is turn on Christian television, cable broadcasting networks. Send me that seed money. Give me that money. People will twist it. And so we get the opportunity to know and to have a deep knowledge of the Word of God and the ability to develop endurance and patience. See, in this life, all of these blessings, whether it's the labor that we put our hands to, whether it is us thinking consciously about how we can grow the kingdom through our actions, through our lives, these are all blessings. It's a win. It's a win because you know who your Savior is, you know what he's doing in you, and you know what he's trying to do for your friends, your family, and your neighbors. And he has said, I am calling you, my army, to be a part of it. To be a part of that growth, to be a part of the development of this kingdom. You have that gift in you. And you win. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." You see, the second part of this win is that we know where we're going, don't we? Paul said, I long to depart. I can't wait to go be with my Heavenly Father. It's way better by far. And I want to really focus on two things that this tells us about the Apostle Paul. Number one, he's a man without doubt. He is a man of firm and confident belief in what is coming. You know, how many of you just think to yourselves like, yeah, sure, I'd like to die. I don't want to wake up tomorrow. Most people don't feel that way, do they? Most people fight for life, don't they? You hear these stories of people who drag themselves through the woods with broken legs. You know, I was talking to a coworker of mine, and he was telling me about this guy who was down in some tree falls and ended up breaking his leg. And, you know, just an immense pain. But he kept dragging himself out, dragging himself out. Why? Because he wanted to live. He wanted to live. He wanted to get home. He wanted to bandage up his leg. He wanted to survive. And there's a natural instinct in us. So when a person says to you, I think it's way better by far to die, they believe in something, don't they? They believe in something bigger than what's here on earth. And that was true of the apostles. According to church tradition, we know that the apostles were beheaded. They were whipped to death. They were beaten to death, crucified, impaled, and stoned to death. Now you tell me, what would you be willing to do? Would you really be willing to die for something that you didn't believe in? Okay, I'll die for Jesus Christ any day of the week, but I'm not going to die for somebody if I don't believe in what they're telling me. I'm not going to just give up my life for no purpose. And most sane people would not. If you don't firmly and confidently believe, you're not going to be willing to give up your life, are you? And yet Paul, who was beheaded, said, even though I see the time coming, my life's coming to an end. I rejoice. I long for that day. I win. Heaven is a better place for multiple reasons. Because being there will be in a place free of sorrow. In Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's something to long for, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? No more pain, no more sorrow. I mean, I'm a young guy, but I still have a few pains I'd like to go away. And you think, no more, none of it. Eternity of bliss and peace, free from sorrow, free from pain. Sounds like a win to me. The second thing that makes heaven so amazing is that it was, in fact, prepared for you. In John 14, verses 1 and 2, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that, but I am going to prepare a place for you. This place was specifically and perfectly designed for you. Now, one of the things I love hearing the most is from friends who don't know anything about God. And they tell me, well, if it's the choice between going to be with all the people I party with or going and sitting on a cloud and playing a harp, I'll go to hell. I love hearing that, because the thing my instant question is, do you really believe that's what heaven is? Do you really believe that's what heaven is? Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, specifically for you. Do you think the God who created all of this and made all kinds of beauty that is beyond our fathom would somehow slip up on eternity? He made this in 6 days. You know, he threw it together. It's a child's craft shop. And he's got all of eternity to prepare heaven for you. You don't think that God is going to be able to prepare something specific and beautiful for you. I can't wait. I mean, I try and imagine, like, The beauty of fall up in the Northeast, mixed with the beauty of the color of the aspens changing here, mixed with palm trees and a tropical beach on the side with sand that doesn't stick to your skin. I try to imagine all of these wonderful things combined together, and it's probably not anywhere close to what God has prepared for those who love him. Why do I know that? Because he's prepared it for me. And when I get there, it's going to be something that's going to blow my mind, and it'll blow your mind. And all these things where, you know, where we say, oh, well, you really like the mountains and I really like the ocean, God's going to find a way to make us both like it. That's how beautiful heaven is. That is what we have to look forward to. And the ultimate thing for us as believers is that we get to be with him. In John 14, verse 3, it says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We get to spend eternity with Jesus. Now, you know, when you think about like celebrities and stuff and the people like, oh, it'd be so cool to meet fill in the blank, right? And yet here we are with one promise, that the greatest man that ever walked the earth, the most loving, the most kind, the most compassionate, the most caring, the most giving of all men, said, I'm going to be there with you. Boy, that sure tops the rock and roll cruise, doesn't it? We get to be with him in eternity. So, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling kind of like we're in a win-win situation. That we wake up every morning as believers in a win-win situation. Now, we're all at different phases in our life, and that's true. We recognize that. There are some of you who may relate more with Paul, and you may be looking more at it and going, well, you know, my time's almost done here. And I congratulate you on walking in the faith all these years. I congratulate you on honoring your God in your life. But the thing I will remind you of is that the blessing that we have here is our fruitful labor. We don't get to retire from being a Christian. We don't get to retire from the work that God has called us to. We may quit our jobs. We may be able to travel, but we are always believers. We are always responsible for growing the kingdom. And so my encouragement to you, do not lose out on this winning situation. Take advantage of your retirement. Take advantage of whatever blessing God gives you to further his kingdom. And if you're a youngin' and your life is still out there before you, I want to remind you of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. See, God's starting to reveal to me, John, you're not invincible. You're not eternal. You're not forever. Boy, when I was 18 years old, I thought I could get away with anything. You know, I'd fall down and bruise up my shoulder, and a week later, here I am running along, no problems. I thought I was invincible. I'd always bounce back. The fact of the matter is life is short. And the sooner we recognize our Creator, the sooner we start recognizing our part in the kingdom, start recognizing who we are, the sooner we become a part of that wonderful winning situation God's put us in. Your friends need you. Your family needs you. Everyone around you is fighting a losing battle if they don't have Jesus Christ. Because as much as being a believer is a win-win situation, being a non-believer is a lose-lose situation. Plain and simple. Because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what you have here is all you've got. So for people who are not believers, I sure hope they get the best plane. I hope they get the jet ski they always wanted. I hope they get that huge mansion on the hill. I hope that everything that they've ever wanted in their life comes to them, that they don't end up destitute, because the only things that they're going to have are here on earth. And so when they look at their lives, at the end of their lives, and they look at the things that they have, and they recognize, I didn't get everything I wanted. I didn't go everywhere I wanted to be. I didn't have everything that I ever dreamed of. That's what they die with. Nothing. That's a loss. And the second loss is the most abhorrent of all, because it's the loss of eternity. They're gone. Their soul is gone. Is it important for us to live in the blessing of the kingdom, to win? Yes, because in us winning, in our labors for the kingdom, for our work, we have the opportunity to help people to win in eternity. This is our task. It's not just mine. It's not just Art and Rex and Tom's. God placed us all here for this purpose. He doesn't want just one of us. He made his kingdom for all of us. Be a part of growing that kingdom. I want to see these seats filled with souls of people who didn't know the Lord. Do you want to be a part of that? It starts every day you wake up in making a choice to live for the Lord. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're so blessed that you've placed us in this win-win situation, that every day we can wake up and rejoice knowing that whether it's serving your kingdom here on earth or whether it's serving your kingdom in eternity, just being there with you, praising you, glorifying you, bringing honor to your name, that for the rest of our lives, we've won. We have the victory. And so we're thankful. But Lord, there are many that don't. There are many that victory is not true for. Many that we work with, many that we live with, many that we just walk day to day with. And I ask you, Lord, that you will give us the courage to be kingdom living believers, that we're out there pushing forward, fighting the enemy, winning victories, and helping others to have the same win-win situation that we live in every day. I pray that you'll give us strength and courage to do all that you call us to do. In your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name, we pray. Amen.